Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service this morning. I expect there'll be a few more drifting in over the next few minutes, but well done for those of you who are here as we begin. My name's Dave Bruce. If you don't know me, I'm the rector here, and I'm going to be leading the service today, and Joe, one of our lay readers, or one of our, no, that's ALMs, got the terminology right, is going to be speaking today as we continue our series looking at spirit-filled worship, looking at these chapters from 1 Corinthians. Welcome to those of you who are watching online later on this afternoon or later on this week. You are really welcome, and it's great to have you be able to join us that way as well, and do feel very much part of our service. Just one notice particularly today, and that is that the Christmas publicity has been printed this week. It's going to be bundled up next week, so come next week ready to take a bundle to deliver. But do grab one of these if you haven't been given one on the way in, which gives details on the back of all our Christmas services coming up, just so that you know what is there. And do be praying for those, and take any other invites you might like to take to invite friends and family too, to our services this Christmas. We're going to begin by just really stating what it is that we believe, and by just welcoming God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So I'd love to invite you to stand. I'm going to say the bits in yellow, and if we all join in, the bits in white. So we believe in God the Father. Our God is a creative God who made the stars and the sky and the earth below. A generous God who gives us light and life. A loving God who knows us by name and is our friend. Yes, this is God our Father. We believe in Jesus. Jesus is God's Son who came to show us what God is like. He was God in human form. He brought us healing and forgiveness. He died for us, and God brought him back to life. Yes, this is Jesus the Son. And we believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. He's someone we can't see but can know. Someone who helps us to know and follow Jesus. Someone who gives us the power to be like Jesus. Yes, this is the Holy Spirit. This is our faith. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And we're going to worship God by singing a couple of songs as we begin our service. And I'd love to invite any of the children to come and grab. We've got some flags here and got some instruments too. So if you want to come and grab a flag or an instrument, then come up to the front and grab them.
You are the word of the King.
And Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are here in our midst by your Spirit. We thank you that you came and died for us, that you came and showed us what God is like. You came and showed us how you call us to live. And you send your Spirit to help us live like you. So we give you thanks, we give you praise, we worship you this morning. Just draw us to yourself. Just meet with us today, we pray. And as the young people and children go off to their groups, we pray especially for them now, that they would know your love, that they would know your presence, that you would help them to live as the people you've called them and created them to be. And bless them this morning, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, children and young people, Pathfinders, you're going to head off to your groups now. Have fun, and we'll see you later at coffee time. And while they're going out, I'm going to invite Colin to come up. We're just going to have a little bit of family news. We've got some great news to share, and we've got some sad news to share this morning too. So Colin's going to come and first of all give us the good news.
Good morning. As some of you know, we are in the middle of an Alpha course, jointly being run by four churches in Malvern, which is a great excitement. I believe God loves to move amongst unity in his church without any denominational barriers. Yesterday was our away day, and I always look forward to the away day. I often see it as quite a pinnacle of God's moving in power. But this Alpha course has been quite a challenge. In fact, I would describe it as being in a battle. A number of our guests, for various reasons, have dropped out. One had COVID. She's missed pretty much the whole of the middle of the course. Somebody else had to go back to university and complete their course. And sadly, one of the guests' husbands passed away this week from COVID and has effectively now had to step away. So, if I'm totally honest, I was looking at this away day and thinking, what on earth is going to happen? We probably had a hope that two guests would come on Saturday. When we met on Wednesday, one of the other guests had said that she'd actually got a family commitment she had to go to. And I'll be honest with you, I felt quite disappointed. But I had the words ringing in my ears of a very good friend of mine, Russell, who stood up here for his confirmation the other day. He said, Cole, you do the leading and the organising and leave God to worry about the numbers. Okay, Russ, I will. And on Thursday, the person who told me that they had something other planned with their family contacted me and said, actually, I'm just a bit anxious. I'm quite scared of what might happen on a way day where you're talking about the Holy Spirit. And we shared and we chatted, and praise God, she came yesterday and was blessed. And the person who'd been off with COVID also turned up. And as I say, she'd missed most of the middle of the course, but she was really seeking Jesus. And I'm delighted to say that she met Jesus yesterday, invited her into her heart, and opened her life to the Holy Spirit. So praise God, dancing was seen in Bury Lodge Farm again this morning.
Great news. Thank you, Colin, for sharing that. And just the sad bit of news in a way, but rejoicing in another way, is that Jonathan Smalley on Friday went to be with the Lord. And many of you will know Jonathan from this congregation. Jonathan has been a really faithful member of this congregation in the last few years since he came back here. His claim to fame is that he's on page one of the St. Andrew's baptism book. He was baptized here in 1944. He started his journey here and he ended his journey here. And, you know, we had some really special times with him in these last few weeks. And I know many people in this church, particularly the Booths and Barry and Debbie's life group, have been amazing supporting him in these last few months, difficult months, and showing real love and real family there. So do pray for his family. Pray for those who have been particularly close to him. But we rejoice now that his pain is over and that he is with the Lord. And he had such assurance of that is where he was going, and was nearly playing his guitar to the end, and just listening to worship music and enjoying God's presence. So we thank God for a special life there, and we remember him particularly today. Jane's going to come and lead us in the rest of our prayers.
Let's pray. Father God, we pray for your world and for the people you created. We pray for the nations and leaders who came together in COP26, that they will seek the common good and work to preserve your beautiful creation. Lord, it disturbs us when we see world leaders embracing division instead of unity, pursuing wealth instead of justice, and concealing lies instead of speaking out the truth for those who seek to enrich themselves rather than provide for their people. Father, it is disturbing to see the difference between rich and poor widening in our own land as well as across the world. We lift all those in poverty to you. Lord, bring miracles of provision, healing, and restoration. We pray for refugees, and in particular those seeking to move into Europe from Belarus. We pray too for the people of Afghanistan, and in particular the women and girls who are prevented from moving around freely or accessing education. In a moment of silence, just think about an area of the world for your own personal prayers. Let justice flow like rivers and righteousness like a never-failing stream. We pray for our nation and its leaders, and in particular, we pray for the Queen as she pairs back her activities. Lord, preserve her health and bring her comfort as she faces a Christmas and a new year without her husband. And we pray for the Christian church across this land. Lord, in such a time as this, draw people to yourself. Have mercy, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Restore us, Lord, and revive your church again. And we pray for those who are suffering at this time. Lord, we pray for your hand of healing to be on David Ritchie, on Peter Yeadon, and all those others known to us who are suffering at the moment. We pray for your peace to surround them and those who care for them. And we pray for the family and friends of Jonathan Smalley and for those who mourn. We pray for my friend Emma, grieving the death of her husband Glyn this week. And thank you, Lord, that they are both joining in the angel's song in your presence. And Father God, where people feel forgotten and hopeless, let your water of life comfort them. Where children lie abandoned or abused, let your water of life protect them. Where communities suffer at the hands of prejudice, let your water of life shield them. Lord, we ask for a mighty downpour from heaven. May we, as your sons and daughters, hear your voice to live as you lead us to live, to go as you bid us to go, to serve as you inspire us to serve, to give as you teach us to give, until the whole earth is covered with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Amen.
This morning's reading is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verses 1 to 25, and it can be found on pages 1154 and 1155 of the Church Bibles. Intelligibility in worship. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law it is written,
With other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray for Jo as she comes to speak. Lord, we thank you for your word. And I pray that you would give Jo real wisdom and words from you to just speak to us what you want to say to us this morning. Give us open hearts to receive this and just come, Holy Spirit, and meet us, we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Dave. Let's get myself organised. I've had a bit of a cough and a throat, although it's not COVID, I assure you. I've had at least two tests during the week. But I am suffering a bit, but I can move that just for the moment. So it's good to see you all. I always miss you. Do you know, I've missed so many people during these last 18 months. I'm just really glad that I can look at you from here. And especially those whom yet I don't know, blessings on you, and may we get to know each other as the time goes by. But we've got this interesting passage from 1 Corinthians 14 to have a look at this morning, and I'm sure it's very familiar to a number of you. So we may learn something new, we may just reiterate what we have known already. But the idea behind studying these chapters in 1 Corinthians was that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us the deep things of God as we continue to journey together. The deep things of God. We wanted God to move us forward as Christians, as individual worshippers, into a fresh experience, if you like, or just to renew us and refresh us as we come to worship together and to understand a little bit more of how Spirit-filled worship works. And so our thoughts have been centered on 1 Corinthians with Paul at this little church in Corinth in southern Greece that Paul had set up on his second missionary journey. And he'd spent about 18 months there teaching them, this new group, some Jews, some non-Jews, a mixture, new group, learning together what it was to worship God, and particularly what it was like to worship God together in community, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul goes off around Asia and sets up some more churches like Ephesus and so on. But it was great concern that he began to hear rumours and then facts about things going wrong in the church of Corinth, as we heard a few weeks ago. And that caused him to want to intervene and write a letter and explain how things should be. And the thing that he centred on was, of course, that things should be in love. There should be a unity in love. Jesus himself said, love one another as I have loved you. And that was the rubber stamp, the hallmark, if you like, of these new believers who were followers of Jesus. And Heather last week gave us an excellent exposition of 1 Corinthians 13. If you haven't heard it, do catch it up and enjoy it. So Paul's urging the Christians then to live in unity, holding fast to the foundations that had been laid there for the church and the basis of their faith. We had them up, didn't we, right at the beginning. This is what we believe. We believe in Creator God. We believe in Saviour Jesus. We believe in powerful Holy Spirit. The foundation of our faith, and then how to move on and live in the light of that. And God's Spirit had been shed into their hearts and lives as they'd come to him in faith and committed themselves to their new life in Christ. And as a result of that, we know the Holy Spirit had worked in an amazing way and shed abroad and given them these grace gifts, these gifts that he wanted to give them in order for them to live out their lives as Christians and to worship God and work for God and spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And just to remind ourselves, these were the gifts of wisdom, knowledge, and faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, which we're looking at briefly today, the discernment and judging of between spirits, and the ability to speak in different tongues, together with that ability to translate those tongues into a more articulate and understandable speech. Sometimes people have more than one of those gifts. It's up to the Holy Spirit. It's still up to the Holy Spirit today to disperse those gifts. And as a young Christian, I was always urged to seek the gifts, ask God for the gifts. And sometimes I asked for what perhaps God didn't want to give me, and what he did want to give me, I didn't ask for. It's up to the Holy Spirit. And although we can ask, it's up to him to donate those gifts, those graces, if you like, that are going to benefit you as an individual walking with Christ and me as an individual walking with Christ in the task and jobs and roles that God, by his Holy Spirit, has chosen for us to do. Some people have more than one gift. Some, well, most of us at least, and I would say everybody has one gift. And if you want to, if you're not sure what your gift is, maybe it hasn't come yet. Maybe you're not in the situation that God has put you in yet for you to need that gift. So don't worry about it. But we all have those gifts because that's what we're promised. The Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth and enable us to walk as God wants us to walk. But in this Corinthian church, things have gone a bit awry. You might say they'd blown it. There was chaos. There was all sorts of going on. And these gifts were being delivered in a sense of disorder and confusion and one-upmanship, and with envy and pride being at the root of what was going on. And Paul needed to help them back into a spirit-led form of worship. They'd wandered away and they needed teaching and encouragement to come back to the way, and to the way of love. He stressed that unless the gifts edify the church, the community of believers, and unless they operate in an environment of deep love and respect and regard and honesty, then God could not be glorified, because one would be at tension with another and wasn't bearing out what God was intending, that of the ministry of the gifts in the church for mutual encouragement in love. So worship was supposed to be, worship isn't supposed to be disorderly, but orderly. And that doesn't mean to say we're restrained or constricted. It just means to say that we work in love. As Paul was saying, you make love your aim, and so use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So worship was orderly, each person using their gifts, taking it in turn, for the common good, for the advantage of all, for the benefit and deepening of faith and for Christian living. Not out of competitiveness, around, oh, I've got this gift, you've got that, oh, it's not as good as the gift I've got. No, crumbs, that's absolutely working against what God would expect and what God wanted. It was this mutual coming together. So these grace gifts, or charismata as we sometimes refer to them, were for the glorifying and worshipping of God. He was the centre of our worship, the adoration, the glorification of God, the thanksgiving of God for what he has done for us and what he's given us and the blessings that he wants to bestow on us. It was for the encouragement of church members in their faith and walk with God. We cannot follow God and walk with him and do what he wants without God's Holy Spirit and without the gifts that that Holy Spirit brings. And how often we try to. How often we try to do it alone, to do it on our own, in our own strength. We need God's Holy Spirit. That's what he was given for. That's what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will receive gifts and you will do my work. So, you know, it's all part and parcel of encouraging each member in their work, walk with God, and their faith and believing. And the gifts were also given to witness to those who don't yet believe. I mean, that's our main mission, isn't it? Follow God and worship and also show Jesus to those who don't yet believe and witness for him. And they were given for the enabling of the church to live and work in power, like Jesus did. Jesus said, greater things you'll do than these things I've shown you when I go to my Father. How could we possibly do greater things than Jesus did? My word, that's something worth thinking about, isn't it? But that's what he said. We would do even greater things. Lord, bring it on. You know, may we. May we. It's the same Holy Spirit then today that we adore and that we receive and accept that gives those gifts today in our church communities today, among Christians today. It didn't fly off after Pentecost to some distant region of the universe and leave us all just to grobble about and get on with what we were think we were supposed to be doing. He has been the embodiment within the church and the empowerment of the church. So these are good gifts, these gifts we've just looked at. These are good gifts that God gives us through the power of his Holy Spirit as he wills. So they're not to be feared. I've come across lots of people who are afraid of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, you know, and then when you hear about these gifts of speaking in tongues and so on, ooh, what's it all about? And they sort of button up and you know, there's a sort of, you know. God's Holy Spirit loves us because God loves us and he is from God. And God is our Father and he will not give us things which are not good for us. Just as you dads here will not give your kids things that aren't good for them, hopefully. But the Holy Spirit gives us good gifts and therefore we can trust them. We can trust God. We can trust the Holy Spirit to give us gifts which are appropriate and which are helpful and which encourage us to grow. So we go on and Paul looks at these two particular gifts that we're just considering today because confusion and discord had come in amongst them and he wants to just clarify the situation. So he said that prophecy is a really, really foundational gift. He said, I wish you all to speak in tongues, but prophecy, urge for prophecy, because in every sense of the word, it builds up the church. It builds up believers. It enables them to follow God, to walk in God's way, and to function as God wants us to function. So in its broadest sense, prophecy is the gift of declaring, of stating, of broadcasting and telling the truth about God and his power and his salvation, as we read about in Scripture. But it's also the declaring of God's word for the moment, for the day. And that's where we just have to be a little bit careful because it is declared, as it were, through by the Holy Spirit through us. And we're fallible and we can get it wrong. And that's where these gifts just need to be tempered and judged in wisdom by those who are given that gift of discerning and evaluating what is being said. But that is a valid aspect of prophecy, the word for today. And that helps us to apply current situations and understand what God is doing or what God may be saying in them as we walk through our lives day by day. So prophecy can be the forthtelling of God's word as we read in scripture and as we follow, and it can be God's word for today given through the gift of the Holy Spirit as he moves among us and as people with that gift can share with the body of the church. Whoever shares prophetic speech builds up the body, encourages comfort and brings help, etc. Those gifts are understandable, they're articulate, they can be uttered in the medium, the way in which we all understand it. There's nothing peculiar about that or anything. So the very words of scripture convey the truth. And sometimes in a meeting, very often scripture and a word of prophecy might go together. A word of prophecy spoken for the time might go together. And I had an example, it just sticks in my mind for some reason, that I really felt we were in a church service like this and we were given opportunity to say something if we felt God was leading us in the Spirit. And I felt to read Revelation 1, verse 8, where God says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," says the Lord. And as I started to, a lady in the audience started to speak as well. And I thought, oh, and you know how you sort of step back, and so it's after you, no, after you. I stepped back from reading. And then she prophesied almost exactly what I was going to read from the scripture. And then I read the scripture. And for us there, that was an example of the word and the prophetic word, if you like, coming together, the word of prophecy coming together. God reinforcing his word within the context of the congregation at that time. So that was quite an encouragement to me because, you know, it was a confirmation that that God was using that. So what about speaking in tongues? Paul says it's a valid gift. I use it. I know some of you use it, but it can be misunderstood. It involves this inarticulate praise that we can't put into words, if you like. Sometimes it's a language, sometimes it's just a feeling, a sigh, it may be a song, it may be whatever. It's sort of incomprehensible, it's a sort of a bit indescribable. And yet it's a valid gift because Paul spoke about it and the Holy Spirit was giving that gift. But he said that needs to be handled as well in an appropriate manner. And he said, because it's unintelligible, it's not for public worship in the church as we would be sitting here now. It's for your personal use, for encouraging yourself, for building yourself up. Like we use scripture at home, we might, you know, we read. Hopefully we're feeding and having a daily quiet time and reading the scripture and so on, building ourselves up. So that gift builds ourselves up. We're not necessarily preaching the word out. We're not necessarily sharing it with other people, but we are being able. And it's all right to be built up. It's all right to build yourself up. How else can we stay strong in God if we don't build ourselves up? So that's what he said. So that cleared that situation up. And with regard to, you know, speaking to, some have that gift, some don't. I never wanted it. I thought, what good is that? Gibbering. You know, I mean, I heard it lots of times. I thought, I'd rather have wisdom, you know, when you're dealing with people every day and you need to know what to do. But as the years went by and God took me deeper in prayer and intercession for people and situations, that sort of bubbled up a bit. And I remember sometimes I had a notebook by my bed when I was reading, and sometimes my pen was whizzing down the page, just writing, you know, my own thoughts in English. It wasn't a funny language or anything. But God spoke to me in that particular way. And that's, I say, that's something that came later on when I was more into prayer. Now then, there is an exception to all this, and it's stated quite clearly there that sometimes a message comes in tongues, in the public arena, but it can only be valuable if it's translated. And so there are people who have that gift of interpreting and translating. If it's not, then we have to hold it over because we can't understand it. We don't know what it is. So that has to be held over. And sometimes people might come and say, well, I felt that that was saying so-and-so, and the leaders would perhaps have to evaluate that. So if that happens in a meeting where there's people, you know, a group of people present, then the rule is that that would be translated so that we can all benefit, so that we can all be built up and we can benefit from the giving of that word. Sometimes those messages or a little prophetic word might be given to individuals. Maybe you've had some, you know, even recently. Someone might say, I really feel under the power of the Spirit, God wants to say to you, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, and that can be a real encouragement. And maybe we should do a bit more of that. I got a little pink book here. No colours, no reason. but I started to write down those sort of things years ago. I didn't keep it up, unfortunately, so I've forgotten some. But here's one that came to me through a friend, a leader, 1979. As you lay your life afresh before him, so he will move on you and use you in ministry and service that you have not seen or known. Scary. Don't belittle that which you have done and are doing for the Lord. When you feel useless, and do not be discouraged. He has given you things, gifts, which will draw others to himself. For the Lord himself will lead you on and show you things that you have not seen and use you in ministries that you have not known. Rest, I say, in the Lord and be at peace with him today. 1979, 1981, God called me to help start a church from scratch. Who could believe that God would ever do that? But he did. And that encouraged me to walk forward into that situation and that ministry. So prophecy is for the building up of the church, for building up us as individual. And it's mainly speaking to believers. So what happens if there are people who don't believe, who are present here amongst us? Well, believers benefit from prophecy, the building up, the exposition of God's word, you know, the gospel. And anybody who doesn't believe, who, you know, joins us in worship, can hear that. It's in common language. Everybody can be built up and respond to a word of prophecy, even if they're not believers. They can come in here, be smitten with the power of the gospel and the love of Jesus and the salvation that is given to us, and, you know, maybe some of you have had that experience where you were hit between the eyes by God and you've given your life to him and followed him ever since. And, you know, there's an example of the gift of prophecy that can benefit non-believers. But the gift of tongues, as we've already said, is for personal prayer unless it is interpreted. Otherwise, people are confused. And if non-believers come in, then they'll think, what on earth's going on with here? What on earth's happening? Crackers, you know. And they think, well, I'm not going there again. And sometimes that has happened. But sometimes it has had the effect of, ooh, what is this? I've never met this before. Oh, perhaps I'll investigate this a little bit more. Perhaps what he was saying, you know, I'll look that up. I'll ask so-and-so who goes to church. It may spark off a route which eventually does bring people back to God. So we just don't know. And in the end, God's Spirit is the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is a good Spirit. God's Spirit wants to bless us. And we, in the end, we trust him as we minister in love amongst each other. We trust him to bring about changes in people's lives and outlook. So God speaks today. He gives gifts today by his Holy Spirit. He enables us to worship in a deep way, in a committed way, in an interesting way, in a blessed way. His Spirit brings joy. Let's remember that. The Spirit brings joy. And he is active, alive, and interacting with us day by day. You know, we do not have a God who is just a piece of wood or a statue. We have a busy, active, interactive God who, by his Holy Spirit, works and moves among us and in our lives day by day. You know, he's not an idol. He's not an image. In Jeremiah, I think it's 10, where it talks about, you know, we don't worship something that's like a scarecrow in a melon patch, a cucumber patch, that has to be nailed together to stand up properly. It's a funny image, but we don't worship a God like that. We worship the God who is alive and active in our world today and wants to know us and wants to use us. So Paul urges us desperately to desire the spiritual gifts, and particularly the gift of prophecy, where we can build each other up. So finally, what's our responsibility in all this? Our responsibility to be open, basically, to summarize, to be open to God and his power and Holy Spirit, to center ourselves in truth in the scriptures. That means we've got to learn some of it. Otherwise, how can the Spirit bring it out of us, if you like, if we don't know it? We need to be open to use those gifts, and particularly the gift of prophecy, wherever we meet to worship. God has given them. To be willing to step out, to be ready to step out. Scary, but we can only make a mistake. And if we really make a bad mistake, somebody will gently tell us. To operate in love and respect towards each other. To prepare ourselves in prayer, perhaps, a bit more when we come to worship Sunday by Sunday or wherever we do that. And to take responsibility for ourselves as we come to worship and be prepared for that. So let's just pray for a moment, because the idea was that the Holy Spirit would reveal the deep things of God to us. And we pray that he will, as we pray and as we listen to the Holy Spirit. In a few minutes, we're just going to take communion. And in that time, God can so much speak to us. So much speak to us and minister to us. It's a very special time of drawing close to God. And we want that to be a special time. Now let's just pause, shall we? And ask for God to touch us. Maybe you just want to settle yourselves a little bit in your chair. Move, you know, just settle. Just breathe. And Lord, we just, in this context of this morning, invite you by your Spirit to stir us and minister to us, to breathe on us, to fill us, and to speak to us in words that will build us up as a fellowship, as a community together, that will strengthen us, that will encourage the non-believer, that will minister to the wounded. So, Lord, we just give you the floor for a few moments to minister to us. I was just praying this through earlier in the week, and I felt God say, I wanted to say, Lord, still me. Lord, fill me. Lord, thrill me with your love and power. So, let's just wait before God.
We're going to just stay in that place of being open to the Spirit just for the rest of the service in different ways. And around the church on the windowsills, I've put some yellow bits of paper and a pencil, and there's a couple at the front here and some on the font too. And just want to say, if you sense God speaking to you at all, maybe a word for the church to strengthen, encourage, a word for the time for the church, then stick that on a bit of paper. Put your name on it so we know who it's come from, and just come and leave it at the, give it to me, or leave it on the chair at the front here, and we may look at those later. We may share one of them in the service. Or maybe God wants to give you a word of encouragement, as it says here in verse 3. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging and comfort. And it may be just in the rest of the service that God puts on your heart someone here or someone not here and just gives you a verse or a word of encouragement for strengthening, for comforting for them, something that's going to build them up, something that's going to be positive. Then again, write that down. Give it to them if they're here. Go and take it away and deliver it to them if they're not here. But let's be open to God speaking to us to build each other up. Just love to invite you to stand, and we're going to sing, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. And as we do, let's continue to be in that place of prayer and openness to God's Spirit. Release the Spirit here. Would you give us, release the gift of prophecy particularly, just for us to share, be able to share and build each other up. Just come, Holy Spirit.
Shame is undone. In your presence.
And as we come and gather around the Lord's table to share in his gift of bread and wine, maybe just first, just in the quietness of our own hearts, confess where we've not lived God's way. Just come and offer that to God, to ask again for his forgiveness, to clean ourselves up before we take this gift. And Jesus says, God says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so we come confidently to the Lord's table and say, the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And do sit or kneel as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Just to say, we're going to receive communion just from the front today. You're going to be directed to come up. I think we'll start with this side first. Just come up and form a line. And when you've received, go back to your places. If you can just hold out your hands and I'll drop the wafer tincted with wine in. If you'd like non-alcoholic wine or gluten-free, then do ask. And if you'd like a blessing, just put your hands down by your side and we'll give you a blessing. But we're going to have a time of worship while we take communion. We're not going to rush it now. And again, let's just be what you need to be. Be open to God's Spirit today. And again, be open to God maybe giving you a word for the church or for somebody. And just respond and take that risk to pass that on. time to just share something which is on his heart, which, well, I'll let him share it and then I'll fill in afterwards.
So just this week, I came across a new song and just felt really called to share some of the lyrics from it that I particularly like from a section. And it's I come. No, you're sorry. You're calling. I'm coming. Not walking. I'm running. So we need resurrender. So we resurrender. And just when I hear those lyrics, every line, I'm just thinking, yes, that's so true. You are calling and we are coming. And we're not just walking, we're running. We're running right to you. And we just resurrender to you. And yeah, that just those lyrics have just really been on my heart this week. Yeah.
Thanks, Ryan. It's really interesting sometimes how God gives us the same word in different times. And that word of resurrender too was sent to Peter and I on Friday by somebody else as well. So I just offer that out. It is God asking some of us to really resurrender, to resurrender our lives to him. If that's you, if that resonates with you, then come and receive some prayer at the end. If you've got any other things to share with others, then do share with others, things that will build each other up and encourage each other. But a final blessing, final prayer as we go from here. God of power, may the boldness of your spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your spirit lead us. May the gifts of your spirit equip us to serve and worship you now and always. Amen.